Okay, so tonight we're going to learn, this is actually the annual yard site shiur from my grandfather, Malki's grandfather. So we'll learn Le'ilui Nishmas, Ben Yamtzi, Ben Avim Chaim, and Yoshua Ben Shmuel HaLevi. Their neshamos should have an aliyah. Okay, so the question I want to try to do tonight, which if anybody listened to Rabbi Sachs this week, he addressed this question. We're going to give a different answer, but the question is, when you look at Parshas Bechukosai, the brachos are really short. It's not a whole lot of them. And then the klalos are much, much longer. And we see the same thing Kisavo also by the second Tochacha. There's a lot of good, of bad stuff, and not much by way of good stuff. And I think the question becomes, why is that? Why does the Torah spend so much time on all the klalos and less time on the brachos? So just quickly, I'll share with you Rabbi Sachs. Rabbi Sachs' idea is pretty much that people, by and large, do well hearing bad things. That kind of jars them much more, right? Most people don't like, you know, walk in at the end of the day and they're like, I had an amazing day. You know, my keys were where they needed to be. I found everything when I needed to. It's more like, today was the worst day. I couldn't find anything. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. So he says that that's fine because God wants to kind of give us a picture of like what it's going to be like to get zapped. And that's going to hopefully be our springboard into ensuring that we do the right thing. So that's one possible answer. I want to share with you tonight an article by Rabbi Alex Israel, where I think he offers a completely different suggestion. And it's pretty amazing how he finds one small comment of Rashi. And in that small comment of Rashi, he finds a way to truly open up so much more information than that one pasuk offers. So the parasha starts off in B'chukotai teilechu v'mitzvotai tishmeru v'asitem otam. If you follow the ways of God, you keep the mitzvos and you do them. V'natati gishmeichem b'itam, the rain will come in its time. V'natna haaretz yivula v'etz asadei yitem perio. So there'll be rain, there'll be abundance in the fields, and the trees will give their fruits. V'itzig lachem dayesh batzir, batzir yitzig et zara, and everything will grow properly. You'll eat bread to your fill. And you're going to live comfortably and safely in the land. So you'll notice that I broke up the psukim. So this would be section number one. So what's section number one? What's the first thing? Meaning it would be in B'chukosai teilechu v'mitzvotai tishmeru v'asitem otam, colon, right? Pasuk Gimel is the header. If you do all of this, so then what's about to happen will occur. So what's number one? So Dalet and Hey, are you going to have financial security? There's going to be food, right? That's a good feeling to know that you're going to have that. Again, in an agricultural environment, society, that's a big deal. I mean, I think that parenthetically, anybody that goes shopping nowadays, it's a little bit jarring. You know, like we've lived in this country for a long time. When did you go into the supermarket and find, you know, half-stocked shelves, and to think that certain products are not available and they're might not be available for the foreseeable future. So the equivalent in the society that they lived in, which is completely agricultural, is that you're going to have everything that you need. So Pasuk Vav, and there'll be peace in the land. You're going to lay and you won't be afraid at all. And you're going to be safe from the animals of the land, and no sword will go through your land. This, of course, is the great mistake of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Yoshiyahu reads this pasuk and says, oh, if Klal Yisrael is doing all the right things, then nobody's going to pass by, even a cherev shel shalom. Right? They're not directly attacking me, but they're using this as a highway to reach the next land. Cherev lo tavor be'artzechem. So that's number two. So first is agricultural abundance. The second one is peace. And then Pasuk Zayin, Radavtem Toivecham Naflu Lifnecham L'Charev. And then you'll chase your enemy, and you're going to fall before the sword, or they'll fall before the sword. Radfu Mikem Chamisha Meyam, Meyam Mikem Reva Yerdofu. Five will chase 100, and 100 will chase 10,000. V'naflu Toivecham Lifnecham L'Charev. And your enemy will fall before your sword. So number three is military success. Your small army will dominate and destroy the much greater and much larger armies that are coming to attack you. Ufaniti aleichem, ifreiti etchem, yirbeiti etchem, vakimoti briti etchem. And I'll turn to you, and I'll make you plentiful, a lot. Vakimoti briti etchem, and I'll keep my bris with you. V'chaltem yashan oshan, yasham ibnei chadash totziu. And you're going to eat in abundance, and everything will be fine. V'natati mishkanim b'tochachem, lo tigal nashiyatchem. And you're going to, I'm going to put my mishkan in your midst, and everything will be fine. Pasug yod bet, v'italachti b'tochachem, v'hayiti lachem le'ilukim, v'atem tu li'lam. And I'll go in your midst, and I'll be your God, and you'll be my nation. Ani Hashem Elokeichem shehotzeiti etchem me'aretz Mitzrayim yod lahem avadim v'shpor motot ulchem olech etchem kol miyud. And the psukim end this section by telling us that what? I am God that took you out of Egypt when you were slaves and destroyed the motot ulchem, the yoke of slavery, and I will go with you kol miyud for eternity. So the fourth section is God's special care that he's going to do to take care of us. And the fifth one is God's presence among us. Okay? So we have our brachos. And then we have Im lo tishmu li v'lo tasu kol mitzvot ha'ele. If you don't listen to me and you don't keep the mitzvos, v'chukotai timasu v'mishotai tegal nafshechem v'lo v'lti asot kol mitzvotai v'afrechem v'priti. So instead of v'chukotai teilechu, you'll follow in my laws, rather the opposite. Going to hate my laws, and instead of mitzvotai tishmeru, mishpatai tegal, and you're not going to keep them, but rather you're going to hate them, and you won't do the mitzvos. Afaniya says zot lachem, and this is what I'll do to you. Vifkadi alechem be'alot ha'shachefet v'adakadachat mechalot einayim v'divos nafesh. God says he's going to punish us with all kinds of sickness. Uzratem larik zarachem, and you're going to plant your stuff for nothing. V'achalu oyveichem. And your enemies will consume it instead. And I'm going to place my face towards you. You're going to fall before your enemy. And your enemies will chase you. And they'll chase you. And you're going to run. And there's nobody chasing you. And if despite that punishment, you don't listen to me, God says, it's all right, I'll just pay you back with another one. So each time, the punishment becomes more and more and more severe. So besides the first question, which is why is the length, this is just a snippet of the klalos, but the brachos, we see all 9 psukim, 10 psukim, excuse me, all 9 or 10 psukim, but the klalos, they're very long. There's a lot of them. I remember when I was in high school. So you know, anybody that ever did teen minyan knows that like you got a lane. So there are certain aleos that like everybody's like, hey, like alein rishon of just bechukosai. It's like 3 psukim or 6 psukim, and then people are like, all right, well, who's gonna be the idiot that's gonna sign up to do the klalos? So I don't know, a few years after my bar mitzvah, I was like, all right, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I'll do b'chukosai. They're hard and they're long and it takes a lot out of you. Why is it that the klalos are so long and the brachos are so short? But also, it seems like the klalos build one upon each other. Meaning, if you do this, this will happen. V'im ad eila, and if that's not enough, God says, okay, I'm going to be mosif, more and more and more and more and more. Why is it that the klalos seem to build one upon the other? And yet the brachos seem to be just independent. They're like these five things that happen. If you do the mitzvos, you'll have lots of money. If you do the mitzvos, there'll be peace in the land. If you do mitzvos, you'll be successful militarily. If you do mitzvos, God will care about you. And if you do mitzvos, God will be amongst the Jewish people. Why is it that it just seems like there is like these five random things that will happen if you are a good, God-fearing Jew? And yet by the klalos, it's like, well, if you sin, this is going to happen. And then if that doesn't wake you up, this will happen. And it's going to keep going and going and going and going. Okay, so those are my two questions. Any questions before I move on?
No, I think you just actually answered your own question. Is here's a warning. If you fail to do the first warning, the second warning is going to be twofold, basically. And third warning is going to be even more than that. It's going to keep building upon.
So
the warning gives you chance after chance to fix what you're making mistakes on.
So Greg, what you're saying, that's the reason why they're so long, or that's why they're one is in
so long because once people start going in the wrong direction, they can't stay built upon it. That was easy, so I'm just gonna not do this either. I'm gonna do this a bear and that a bear. And he said, I'm giving you warnings.
Right, okay, so yeah, if it builds one upon the other, that would be why it's longer, because there's level one. If you mess up, there's level two, but you need now four or five more psukim to get there. And then there's level three and four and five until you get to the end. Okay, any questions? All right, next week we're going to do Megillas Rus, so I trust that there'll be lots of questions. But okay, fine. Let's take a look at the Ibn Ezra. It's a great line by the Ibn Ezra. So the Ibn Ezra, which is right below the Psukim. So he
it's a question, but I don't think that it fits within the narrative. So if you don't want to go down this path, it's fine. We can not. In the Brosso, it starts with, like you said, financial, agricultural wellness and comfort. And then it's peace in the land. And then the next one is you'll be able to defeat your enemies that come after you. Well, two and three seem awfully interconnected. If you have peace in the land, is that just like domestic tranquility, but not external? And the third is a completely separate part. Hashem can create the situation where peace in the land is peace for you, internal and external, as opposed to two separate parts. It's not the component of length. This is abbreviated and it falls for long, so it's not on that topic, so we don't have to go there.
Right, so Rav David Tzvi Hafman, who was had a Perush on Chumash, he was from Germany in the 1800s. So he actually says that he feels that this, it's just five random things. There's no real building up from one. There's, agricultural success, that's financial. Then there's peace in the land. There's your military will be strong. And then there's God cares about you and God will live amongst you. See, that's what he suggests. He suggests that they're completely independent. Rabbi Alex Israel says, actually, maybe we can make the argument that it's actually a process. Right, one is building to the next. So he says, if that's the case, then it makes sense. You have five levels of brachos, you have five levels of klalos, and each one builds one upon the next. And
I was trying to build that model in my head, and I can see how financial security gives you peace in the land, and peace in the land allows you to ward off your enemies and such. But then Hashem will care about you and be in your midst. I would almost think those four and five really should come first, or it's maybe the relationship with Hashem, is more important, or it has to come before Avin Olamakom. So this sequence may in fact be a building sequence in that regard. First you'll have.
Yeah, no, David, that's a wonderful point, and that's one of the two things that we have to figure out tonight. One is why the brachos are so short and the klalos are so long. And the other one is, what is the sequence of these five? Meaning, is it just like Parshas Kedoshim, where there's just random things that are thrown into one place? And it's not necessarily like a salad or a challen, but rather there's like this thing, this thing, this thing, more like a smorgasbord, where you pick and choose, you know. I might go to the carving station and leave the sushi, or I might stay at the sushi the whole time. But I can pick what I want, and that's okay. Or is it like a dinner where there's course one, course two, course three? So Rabbi Alex Israel suggests that it's more like a dinner, but then we have to understand, like, how do we get from the starting point to the end point? And, I hear your point that one, two, and three, like, they can fit nicely enough together, and four and five can fit nicely enough together, but they don't necessarily all mesh together. So that's really what we have to try to figure out.
Okay. So you have, after each level, you have agricultural success. Now you can say, I thank God for this, or I can say, well, I really planted really well this year, it was on me. My military success, because I thank God, or is it because I did this? Each one builds up until you get to that fourth level where you have God is with you. He's joining you now because you still believe in him and understand that all the successes are because of him.
Okay. I like that. I think that Rabbi Alex Israel is going to take it a little bit further. But yeah, Greg, I think that's a great point. Okay, so let's take a look at the Ibn Ezra. Now, over the years, I have shared with you that I like the Ibn Ezra because I think that he has a sharp wit to him, and definitely a good, like, sharp tongue. So this is what he says. He's going to try to deal with our first question. Why are the brachos so short and the klalos so long? So he answers, v'reke moach. Reke moach. Reke is from the word empty, and moach is brains, right? The empty-brained people, amru, ki haklalos rabos me'abrachot. They all say, oh, the klalos, the curses are so long, and the brachos are so short. V'lo amru emet. But they're wrong. Now you're going to say, what? He's calling everybody else empty-brained, but like, look, 10 psukim, that's the brachos. 30 psukim, at least, those are the klalos. So, how is he right? So, this is what he says. Rak nemru brachos klal, v'nemru beklalos pratim. So, the brachos are just the rules. Meaning, it gives us an overview. But the klalos, so they're written befrat. They give us every single detail. This will happen, and this will happen, and this will happen. The brachos are, you're going to be at peace. Well, what does that mean to be at peace? To be at peace is like a whole big story. But all we're getting out of it is, you know, it's going to be peaceful. So why then does it do that way? L'yarei ulavchid. What's to scare the person? It's not going to scare you telling you, listen, I want you guys to all know that if you come to learn Torah, everything's going to be great. There'll be a nice, you know, spread of food to eat. Right? Like, that's not a scary thing, right? But it is much scarier to hear the opposite. If you don't do this, right, calamity is going to befall you. So Ibn Ezra says that when it comes to, like, the Torah and mitzvos, or the reward, the brachos, it just needs to give you, like, a nice, like, thing. If you do right, it'll be good. But when it comes to the klalos, it's supposed to be jarring to strike fear in our hearts. V'amistakel heitev yidbarer lo dvari. And the Ibn Ezra says, if you look carefully, you'll see I'm right. Okay, I just like that. I think it's a good line. V'reke moach. Right? I mean, like, you know, somebody says something really, really annoying, you're like, ugh, I get what the Ibn Ezra is talking about. You're one of those reke moach. All right, but what, so the Ibn Ezra answers the first question and says that the brachos are really a lot longer than they appear, but the Torah chooses to put them in shortest form possible. Okay, so that could answer our first question, but we still don't have an answer to the second question, which is, why is it that the klalos are clearly step one, two, three, four, five. And the brachos, we can try to make them work, but they're not necessarily going to work. So take a look at Rashi. So this is what Rashi says. This is a Rashi that I've certainly read a lot of times, and you could totally miss it. Pasuk Yud Bet, at the very end, right? So God, in the fifth section, it says, V'talachti b'tochechem, I'll walk amongst you, V'ayiti lachem le'elokim, and I will be your God, V'atem tu li'lam, and you'll be my nation. Rashi says, V'talachti b'tochechem, I will go in your midst, Atayel imachem began Eden. God says, I will walk with you in Gan Eden, kachad mikem, like one of you. Lo tiu mizda'azim mimeni, and you won't be afraid. Yacholo tiru mimenu tamilo marveti lachem lelokim. Okay? So what's Rashi saying? Rashi's saying that when this happens, that we do all of these things, and we finally reach level number 5, at that level, we're going to walk with God in Gan Eden. All right? I mean, it sounds nice. So where does Rashi come off by introducing Gan Eden? So what Rashi, Rabbi Alex Israel says, what Rashi is suggesting is that the goal, if you get to each level, meaning 3 is like really nice. It means that you're winning the wars. 2 is that there's peace, nobody's bothering you, so you're not on the defensive. But 3 is that you're going to be on the offensive, right? David HaMelech's time, where the Jews are always fighting and they're expanding their borders and expanding their borders. That's number 3. But what's number 4? Number 4 is God actually cares about us. But number 5, that's really where it's all at, is that God will be amongst us. But what does that mean to be amongst us? So says Rashi that God will walk with us through Gan Eden. Now, it sounds amazing. What does that really mean? So the goal is to return to the status of pre-Aveira, pre-Adam Arishon sin. Because before that, do you know what man did? Man walked with God and it didn't scare him at all. And yet what happens as soon as Adam sins? What does he do?
He hides.
Thank you. He hides from God. Why does he hide from God? Because he's no longer comfortable being amongst God. So Rashi is saying it's a pretty big deal. Level number 5 is Atayel etchem b'Gan Eden. I'm going to walk with God in Gan Eden. Now that's a very important point, because if that's the case, did we ever reach level number 5? Right? Did we ever in all of Jewish history get to that point where we were that close with God? So not really. Meaning, you can tell me that we reached number 4, v'natati mishkani b'tochechem, that I reached the point where I have the Mishkan, I have the Beis HaMikdash, we have that. But do we ever reach the point where we were able to walk with God, with no fear whatsoever? The answer is clearly not. So what Rashi is saying is we're trying to return to the status of pre-sin. But that's how far back we want to go. We want to go back to before sin, before we were kicked out of Gan Eden. That's what we're aiming to get to, where we walked, so to speak, with God, with no fear whatsoever, ever. So the question of Alex Israel asks is, I'm sorry, somebody asked a question?
No, I'm just saying the point of the Rashi actually is the end part, I think, where he's talking about the Salachti B'Sofachem and then B'Sofachem L'Akim. It's like, but don't think that you won't be afraid of me at all. It's more about the fear of God, even in Gan Eden.
Okay, that's fair. But at the end of the day, why is Rashi introducing the whole notion of Gan Eden?
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, the point is it's not fearless, but it's still a pretty high level.
Right. Okay. But you're not told, like, meaning like you're comfortable walking with God, right? Like that's still a pretty big deal. So where's that coming from? But why does Rashi even need that? Like, where do we introduce the whole idea of Gan Eden from? And is it possible to return to the status of Adam Rishon before the sin, right? Before the first sin. That's our question. So let's take a look at the Ramban. I believe this is the Ramban. It's not labeled, but yes. So the Ramban says, "Natati shalom ba'aretz." You're going to have peace in the land. Sheyes shalom b'neichem. You're going to have peace amongst yourselves. V'lo talachem u'ish b'achiv. And there won't be fighting amongst your brothers. O hashalom hu sheyeshbit chayara min ha'aretz. And there'll be peace that the animals won't do anything to you. V'cherev lo tavor b'artzichem. And the sword will not go through your land. Klal. But you yourselves will go out to war, and you yourselves will attack your enemies, the anusu, and they're gonna run away. Right, and that peace is really the most important thing. Al das of Yehuda, and that's the opinion of Yehuda. She amar mavir min olam hu she. Who kipshuto shelo yavo chayot ra'ot b'artzam, right? It's pshat that there will not be wild animals in your land. Kibiota sava ubrachot hatovot veyot harim mleot adam lo tavona chayot b'yishuv al dar b'shimon shemar m'shitam shel yiziku. So Rabbi Yehuda says that the animals, right? The animals will not enter amongst you to do anything. And Rabbi Shimon says, "Shamar mishivatam shel yaziku yomar v'shivoti v'ishbati ra'at hachayot min ha'aretz v'anachon ki ti'aretz yisrael v'ekim ha'mitzot kashar ya ulam mitchilato kodem chetol shel adam rishon." Says the Ramban that what is the goal? The goal is that the land of Israel should be like it was prior to the days of Adam Rishon, or prior to the sin of Adam Rishon, which is ein chayav remes meimit adam, that man was not hurt or bothered or killed by animal. K'mo shamru, ein arud meimit, ela chayt meimit. Which is what they felt. They felt that sin doesn't... animals don't kill, but what kills? Sin is what kills a person. So says the Ramban, you can come to a time where man is able to go back to that stage. When is that? It's an era of complete commitment to Hashem. We can go back to the times of Gan Eden when man didn't fear animals at all. That is our goal. So now take a look at Yeshaya Yud Aleph. Yeshaya Yud Aleph, it's the Haftorah, I believe, of the eighth day of Pesach. The Yatza Choter Migeza Yeshai, V'Netzer Sharashav Yifreh. So something will come out of the root of Yeshai, and something will sprout from its roots. And the Spirit of God will dwell there. It's the Spirit of Chachma and Bina, Ruach Eitzah, Gevura, Ruach Das, V'Yiras Hashem. V'haricho B'Yiras Hashem, V'lo L'marei Nav Yishbo, V'lo Mishmaz Nav Yochiach. And I believe it's you'll sense the fear of God, not that you'll see it and be judged, and not that you'll hear it and be chastised. Shafat b'tzedek dalim v'ocheach b'mishur lan v'aretz v'ka eretz v'shev epiv ruach satav yamit rasha. So he's telling us what's going to be, right? Only good things are going to happen. V'yad tzedek izor matnav, he's going to have righteousness tied, girded around his loins. V'amunai izor chalatzav, and fear also. V'gar ze'ev yim keves v'namer yim gedir bats, right? Wolf and lamb. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard with the gedi, with the goat, the eagle kfiro meri achtav and arkaton oheg behem, and different kinds of animals will pull the plow, and a young child will move it. Uparavadov tirena yachtav yirbitzu yaldeim arieka bakar yochal tavin. Everything is going to get along. That is where these psukim are at. They're telling us that we're going to have peace amongst all of society, including all of these animals. So take a look at the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra, he's unfortunately not as sharp as he was in the previous one. What time are we talking about? When is it when the wolf and lamb will get together? Not only the restaurant, although I think the restaurant gets it from this pasuk, but it's going to be Bizman Mashiach. Machne Ashur, this is the time of Yeshaya. Yeshaya lived when the land of Israel was in peril by Ashur, Assyria. So he says Assyria was getting ready to lay waste to the north. And at that point in time, so Mashiach is going to come and do all this. and the time will come when Yerushalayim will be redeemed. Lofi dat Rabbi Moshe HaKohen shel Chizkiyahu Ramaz ki udabakim parsha. So it's possible that we're talking about the days of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. That's what we're talking about, and the Mashiach will come. If you don't like that, I'm sure you won't like the Chumash Tanach. The Chumash Tanach says, what is pshat in these psukim? Perish b'schus Yishai. In the merit of Yishai, demate be'ito shel Nachash. Yishai is one of the four people the Gemara in Shabbos says that didn't sin. And therefore, the only reason why they died was because of the snake. The snake, when it forced Chava to eat the fruit, it created death in the world. And the death in the world means that everybody's got to go no matter what. So this, Yishai is one of those people that should not have had to die. He never sinned, according to the Gemara. And yet he dies because of the Nachash. And Nachash, Yavo Mashiach Gematria Nachash. Right, so what's Nachash is 358, and what is Mashiach, also 358. So V'yatzachotem egeze Yishai, what's going to come? Mashiach is going to come from Yishai because of what? The Nachash in Gematria. All right, what in the world is this talking about? Rashi and the Ramban say that these psukim are talking about a messianic period when the world is all good. Okay, we have the snake, we have Adam, we have Chava, we have Gan Eden. Let's go back to Gan Eden for just a moment. So who could describe, right, what is Adam HaRishon stay in Gan Eden like? What does he do? What? Short. Yeah, very short. What does he do in Gan Eden?
Nothing.
Well, that's actually not totally true. He does do something. What does he do? That's true. He does give birth to a wife. What else? It's like his one, I would hardly call it his crowning moment, but he does do one thing, right? What does he do? He names the animals, but to name the animals, he has to walk through Gan Eden, right? So he walks through Gan Eden. Maybe there's also the idea of La'avda, La'shamra. He takes care of it, but he walks through Gan Eden. That's really all he does in Gan Eden. And that's, by the way, that's where Rashi's coming from. When Rashi says, V'salachti besochichem, what's the basis for Rashi's bringing in Gan Eden? He's introducing Gan Eden based on a similarity, that's what the Medrash often does, a similarity in the style of the words. So what does Hashem do? Let me just get the exact words, right? So he puts Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden with the purpose of going through it. So hold on. One sec. Almost there. Sorry, almost there. Right? God puts him there. La'avdil l'shamra. And fine. I can't find it. Okay, fine. So anyway, he's there for a short time. What happens in a short time there? Well, he gets married, whatever that means. He has children, possibly, or at least he impregnates his wife. And then he does his work and his wife goes out into the field, meets the snake. After she meets the snake, what happens? What's woman's punishment? Woman is told, Chava's told that she's going to have pain and suffering when it comes to childbirth. It's going to be painful and sad, and she's going to be subservient to her husband. And because to Adam, because you listened to your wife and you ate from the tree, which I told you not to eat from, arura ha'adama b'vurecha. The land will be cursed because of you. And you'll eat with sadness all the days of your life. And thorns and thistles will grow there. And you'll eat the grass of the land. You're going to work by the sweat of your brow. and you're going to go there until you go back to the land. So basically what man is told is he's going to work and work and work until he dies. And when he dies, where is he going to go? Back into the land where he came from. If you came from the dirt, and you're going to return to the dirt. Right? So what happens? Man names her Chava because she comes from the word Chai. She is the mother of all living. God makes them clothing to cover themselves up. Meaning God says, you cannot be what you used to be. The whole notion of being free and open has ended, and now you got to cover yourself up a little bit. All right, what happened here? What are the two klalos that they got? Woman is going to have suffering when it comes to children, right? She's not going to have what? She's not going to have peace. And what's the second one? What's Adam's curse?
Work the land.
He's going to have to work the land. Now, take a look at Parshas Bechukosai. What are the brachos that we start off with? Bracha number one is agricultural abundance. David, it's like hard work. You got to flip up and down, right? So Bechukosai Teilechu. So you're going to, if you do all this, what's going to happen? Number one is financial well-being. And two is you're going to have peace in the land. Chava's curse is there won't be peace in the land. And Adam's curse is you're going to have to work the land. So,
the peace in the land is equivalent to childbirth pain. Not that I know what it is or want it, but
I'm gonna go. I'll agree with that. I kind of thought about like leaving that piece out and just saying it's a reversal of Adam's, but I don't know. Rabbi Israel did not feel it was a stretch, but I hear it. Definitely hear it. But the curses are now being reversed. Number one and two, maybe, certainly number one, is everything is, you know, going back. Now, there will be peace in the land, fine, but what's going to happen afterwards? You're going to slowly, first you're going to build God's mikdash on this earth, so that's step one, and then eventually you're going to walk with God just as you did in Gan Eden. The goal is to return to where we were before this whole thing started. That's where these psukim are coming from. Now, that's a fascinating idea, because basically what the brachos and klalos are telling us is you have to choose. Do you choose pre-Adam HaRishon eating from the fruit, or do you choose post? Pre is I walk with God in security and in safety, and I feel comfortable with God. Post is I sin and God exiles me. Now, how exactly does this work? And is it possible that, where is this? So this is talking about the land of Israel. So does that mean that the land of Israel and Gan Eden are the same thing? We don't really know where Gan Eden is. You know, we have like rough borders for Gan Eden that the psukim tell us, but are those psukim really pshat? Meaning if you find those four magical rivers, is there a spot in the Middle East, you know, in the desert where people miss it, but really Gan Eden is there? Is Israel Gan Eden? So I want to try to figure that out as we finish up our sources. So take a look at the second to last source on the second page. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe l'emor. God speaks to Moshe, saying, this is Parshas Achrei Mos, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amart aleihem, Ani Hashem l'keichem. Speak to the Jewish people and tell them, I am the Lord your God. K'masei Eretz Mitzrayim v'shrei shavtem b'lo tasu. The way the Egyptians behave, don't do. K'masei Eretz Kanan asher ani mevi'et chem sham b'lo tasu. Do not behave like the Kanani as well. Why? Sham b'lo tasu v'chukosem lo teleichu. You should not do what they did and don't follow their laws. Et mishpatai tasu. Do my laws, v'chukotai tishmu l'alecha b'hem, ani Hashem l'keichem. And keep my statutes. U'shmartem v'chukotai v'mishpatai asher yaseh otam adam v'chai b'hem, ani Hashem. And you'll keep my laws, do what you have to do, and you'll live by them. So it says God. What is it? What is Eretz Yisrael? What is Gan Eden? How exactly do they work? How do they connect to the brachos and the klalos. So I want to share with you Rabbi Alex Israel's idea. He says Gan Eden and Eretz Yisrael are not necessarily one and the same, but they're a barometer for where we are spiritually. Right? We can kind of look at Eretz Yisrael and see God promised the Jewish people that the land of Israel will be theirs so long as we maintain our loyalty to God. So long as we have our spiritual center is God. But if that changes, so God says, what's going to happen? This land can't deal with the Jewish people not being loyal. So Eretz Yisrael and Gan Eden are barometers for where we are spiritually. They do not tolerate sin no matter what. We have potential. The place can be amazing and give us an opportunity to focus on Kedusha, or it can expel us. That is what our Psukim are telling us. Now, we're not going to look at the Ramban inside. It's a very long Ramban. But the Ramban basically says the same thing. He says Eretz Yisrael, and or rather our Vayikra starts with, this section of Vayikra starts with the Rayos and ends with the Klalos to tell us that there's a place called Eretz Yisrael, which is similar to Gan Eden, which has great potential, but at the same time, it could be a roadmap to destruction. Rabbi Israel says the potential of the Jewish people is amazing. The road back to Gan Eden is there, but it's only there if we take advantage of it. We have to follow what the Torah is saying. Follow the progression of the brachos. The brachos are step one to step five. Do the Jewish people hit step one? Are there times of agricultural abundance? There's a lot of them. There's a lot of times in Tanakh where the Jews are well off. Are there times of peace in Tanakh? Not as many times as there's financial good, but yeah, there's peace. Military success, you bet. The fourth step, 100%. They built the Mishkan. They built the Mikdash. But how about the fifth one? God's presence amongst the Jewish people. Do we ever get it on Rashi's level of Gan Eden? We don't. Bechukosai offers us the roadmap for us to get back to Eden. But it only works if we try really hard. But if we fail, the destruction will be huge. But Vayikra gives us one idea that really matters. Yes, it's true that Kedoshim to you. It's true that Gan Eden is there. But God is telling us, as scary as it is, and the punishments are very severe, Vayikra reminds us that the keys are in our hand. And it's our choice what to do with them. I think that that's a really, really important thing to realize. I think that what the Brachos and Klalos are trying to do, and this is similar to what Rabbi Sachs says, is that they're a remembrance of punishment. Punishment will be there. There'll be a lot of it. But the reason why we have that is to remind us that there's such good potential for good as well. There's potential to hit all these amazing places and reach a very, very high level. The question really becomes, will we allow ourselves to do that? That's what Vayikra offers us. It offers us a roadmap. It offers us a huge upside. And yet there's a scary downside. And the keys are in our hands to decide what it is that we want to do. God willing, it should be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will that we'll see the strength of the brachos. And we can slowly see ourselves moving from level 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. But ultimately, thank you, to hit level number 5 so that we could be back. Not back. We can be back in Gan Eden. That's what we're aiming for. And if we can get there, which would be like a really big deal, if we can get there, then that's sort of what's putting us, you know, in the days, as the Ibn Ezra says, of Mashiach. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the days when there'll be peace amongst everybody, peace amongst the animals, and man will be able to roam the world once again like he did in the times of Gan Eden.